Oh, hi there, everybody. You're listening to Implosion on KDRT 95.7 FM, coming to you from Davis, California. I'm Nick Salomon. I'll be here for the next hour playing stuff that you might enjoy. Hopefully you will. And yeah, there's not much more I could say. It's boiling hot over here at the moment. It's the hottest day on this date. It's a bank holiday in Britain, so it's a kind of national holiday, and it's the hottest one ever. So there you go, the May Day. It's the hottest May Day ever. Yeah, it is pretty hot. I had to go and pick up some t-shirts, and when I got there, I'm wearing this blue t-shirt myself, which has got my favourite footballer of all time on it, and it was covered in sweat. I looked terrible. I came out of my car covered in sweaty t-shirts, and it didn't look attractive. Fortunately, I'm just sniffing under my arms, it didn't smell, thankfully. So that's what you wanted to know, wasn't it? I could see you sitting there going, now did it smell? And it didn't. Good. It just looked horrible. I can't think of much more to say. This will be my last show for the next few weeks because I'm going on a tour next week with my band. We're off around the UK. We're playing in various places like Coventry and Manchester, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Newcastle, Leeds, Cambridge, Southend, Ramsgate, Hastings, London. I think there might be a couple more, but at the moment I can't think what they are. But yeah, that should be fun. But I'll be back at the kind of end of June, and then I've got no more gigs. So you got me for the rest of the year. That's if I remain alive. But yeah, I think that's probably going to happen. But you know, that I'll remain alive. You never know, do you? You know, I'm not a kid anymore, and things can kind of, you know, the grand piano can descend upon you without any notice. You know, you're strolling down the street thinking ill of no one, and a Steinway drops out of a massive window and lands on your head. Yeah, could happen, probably won't. Anyhow, what we're going to start for you with you tonight, let's have a look. It's a guy called, it's his band, it's the Harry Roach Constellation. And the Harry Roach Constellation was going in the early 70s and did a lot of stuff for TV and things like that. And Harry Roach had started as a man in the army. He was a military band leader, and he was a trombonist. And when he came out of the army, he kind of went into doing music for TV and radio and stuff like that. And some of it was, you know, a lot of it's very middle of the road and easy listening, but there's a couple of things where it goes a bit kind of groovy. And this particular album, which is called Sometimes, came out in 1973 in quadraphonic sound. Not that you'll get the benefit of it there, because you've only probably got two speakers, and I've only got two speakers, so yeah, you don't get the full joy of quad. Not that I've really ever experienced the full joy of quad, but this is, as I said, the Harry Roach Constellation, and a track rather disturbingly called The Prowler. So here you go. We'll be right back.
fool. Forget it.
Trees and the rocks are dragged away. Yeah. You're so foul that I have to travel miles just to get a clean, fresh breeze on my face. And if I remain in this dying climate, the air or the walls will soon decide my fate. Take away my life, where the sunlight warms my face and stars shine at night, where love holds the key and trust forms a lock, where my mind can really choose the path I shall walk. I shall walk. I shall walk. Where I'll be happy just to live this life to the fullest of my dreams. And if I return, it'll only be for a visit or maybe two, for my heart needs to travel with my dreams. So I'm moving on to where time doesn't tick away my life, where the sunlight warms my face, stars shine at night, where love holds the key and trust forms a lock, where my mind can freely choose the path I shall walk. I shall walk. I shall walk.
There you go, that's a kind of interesting single. That's by a guy called Tom Day, and it's he's called himself for this one, he's called himself Tom Day Turned On, and the single's called I Shall Walk, came out on the Hit label in 1970. And Tom Day's real name was Frank Dranz Jr. He's from Vernon, Connecticut, and his most of his career he was doing kind of lounge music and just kind of easy listening sing-song stuff. And in 1970 he had this little phase where he thought he'd go a bit freaky, and did an album of kind of freaky stuff, which I would love to get, but I'll have to make do with the single that I've got for the time, and it's really good, I think, if not a bit silly. But it's also a little bit late, isn't it? 1970, things had moved on a bit, but you know, never mind, you know, it's still worth listening to. I mean, you can't criticise something because he did it like 2 years too late. You know, it's just unfortunate for him, really, because it probably didn't sell. But, yeah, it's great. I really like that. And before that, we had the Harry Roach Constellation doing the Prowler off his Sometimes album, which came out on... what label was that? Let me have a look. It's on Pi Records in 1973. So what have we got for you now? Well, yeah, we're going over to Australia, and we're going to go to, well, I think Melbourne, although the band originally came from... Adelaide, and it's the Master's Apprentices, and the Master's Apprentices, as I said, started off in Adelaide and moved to Melbourne and became really big. They kind of based themselves on a kind of British garage band type thing, kind of cross between an American garage band and a British kind of freak beat stuff, and they were absolutely brilliant. They had a period when they were really big in the mid-60s, and then they kind of came to England to try and, you know, do a Bee Gees, but unfortunately didn't really work for them, and they went back to Australia. And they're still going in some form. I mean, although I know quite a lot of them have died since, but there's a form of the Master's Apprentices still going, which sounds kind of interesting. Their main singer-songwriter, well, not singer, main songwriter and guitarist, early in the career, had a nervous breakdown and kind of quit the band, which was a shame because he wrote some really good stuff. And then, you know, in the 80s, I think he kind of recovered and played with them again. So, yeah, I don't know what lineup it is now, but it's interesting. And they're called the Master's Apprentices. And I think I've played a track by them before. But this is a single called Buried and Dead. And it's really good. So this is the Master's Apprentices and Buried and Dead, which came out on Asta Records in 1967. So here you go. Yeah.
I love you. I'll try so hard. Hey! honey, got a mean streak. Oh, baby, got a mean streak. But if you wanna stay with me, be my loving honey, baby, you must lose your mean streak. You look so cute and you walk so nice. Oh, but your heart is as mean and as cold as ice. Well, I found my heart was a beat kind of faster. Oh, baby, I know I was flirting with disaster. Oh, honey, got a mean streak. Oh, baby, got a mean streak. Well, if you wanna stay with me, be my loving honey, baby, you must lose your mean streak. Yeah. So pretty, yeah, but how I gonna leave you? Ain't that a pity? Well, you took my loving and you threw it away. I know what's gonna happen to you someday. Oh, honey, got a mean streak. Oh, baby, got a mean streak. But if you wanna stay with me, be my loving honey, be, you might lose your mean streak. Yeah, mean streak. Oh, baby.
Just love that stuff. That's Cliff Richard and the Drifters doing Mean Streak, a single from 1959, which came out on Columbia. And of course, Cliff soon after that became like the biggest star in the UK. He's like England's Elvis Presley. And the Drifters, who had to change their name because the proper Drifters in America were already using it, they changed their name to the Shadows, who became the British instrumental kind of heroes, so, you know, like an English Ventures, and they became huge. But that's one of their very early singles that wasn't a great smash hit, and it's really good. And I've got a real penchant for English rock and roll. I think it, or British rock and roll, should I say? But you know, I think it's, I mean, it didn't really get the kind of subtlety of American rock and roll, or was it subtle? Not really. But they didn't really get it. And you know, there's some hilarious attempts by English people trying to do rock and roll that weren't very good at it. But I thought Cliff and the Shads, or Cliff and the Drifters, as they were really good. You know. What can I say? Really great. So there you go. Cliff's real name, Harry Webb, and he came from Cheshunt, which is a little place just, well, not a little place, kind of suburban place just north of London, in the River Lee Valley. So there you go. Just in case you were thinking of going and checking him out. I'm sure he doesn't live there anymore. No, in fact, I know he doesn't. He's still around. He's in his 80s now, Cliff. And yeah, great. What we have before that, we had the Master's Apprentices doing Buried and Dead. Oh, what a great track. Now we're going to have a listen to a guy called John Otway. And John Otway is still going. I mean, he's, you know, regularly out on the road. He must be about the same age as me, I think, which is about in his early 70s. And he started way back, you know, when he was in school. He was a kid in, grew up in a place called Aylesbury, which is in Buckinghamshire, which is kind of to the northwest of London, about 45 minutes, an hour out of London, I would think, if you go by train. And he started being heard of in the early 70s because he was known for being a bit mental on stage. And he eventually came to fame in the kind of mid 70s and got kind of clubbed in with the punk movement, although he wasn't a punk at all. And he was hanging out with this guy called Wild Willie Barrett. And John Otway and Wild Willie Barrett were a regular gigging band on the punk circuit, but they kind of fitted in because John Otway would kind of leap on things and fall off them and smash his head and, you know, just drink ink and things like that. So they were great fun to see. And Wild Willie Barrett was a guitarist and also had a lap steel on wheels, which John Otway used to kind of jump on and ride right off the stage, to Wild Willie Barrett's annoyance, who they finally split up because I think Wild Willie Barrett got fed up of having his various instruments broken. But John Otway, you know, was kind of charming, kind of like a bit mad and naive, but still great. And he was discovered really by Pete Townsend, who was the producer and stuff of his first couple of singles. And he had a big hit with Wild Willie Barrett called Core Baby, That's Really Free. And something about look out for the flowers because I'm sure they're going to get you and things like that. And I really liked him. I used to go and see him quite a lot, John Otway, and he was a lot of fun, I've got to say. Real good. And you know, wrote good songs and nice tunes. And so I'm going to play you a track off an album he did in 1979 called Where Did I Go Right? And this is a track called, what's it called? It's called It's a Pain. So here you go.
Feels just like a night. ground. When I found out, said I felt fine. Feeling so alone, just be alone.
Strange little single that. That's a band called The Neat Change, and they came from London, and the track was called I Lied to Auntie May. Came out on Decca Records in 1968, and they began life as a skinhead band. Strangely enough, I was reading about this and thought, don't like that, you know, because they were horrible, violent people who went around beating other people up. Yeah. Anyhow, I won't go into that too much, because I might upset people who are skinheads, you know, and I don't want to upset. Well, I do, actually, yeah. I didn't like them. They chased me for 2 miles once. Me and my mate Kev went to a pop festival and got chased by a gang of skinheads for 2 miles till we lost them. Yeah, oh, happy days. Anyhow, yeah, the Neat Change started off as a skinhead band and were managed by Spencer Davis, but then they changed their appearance and grew their hair long and wore caftans and stuff and became a kind of hippie band, and included the guitarist Pete Banks, who was the first guitarist of Yes in their lineup, and went off and did a lot of gigs at the Marquee Club and stuff, and were rated pretty highly, but they only did the one single. And it wasn't at all like what they were like live. They were a kind of psychedelic rock band, but that's kind of a bit, you know, baroque or something. And it was written, the song I Lied to Auntie May was written by Andy Bowne and Peter Frampton, because they were members of The Herd, and I think they were managed by similar label, you know, by similar management crew. And, yeah, they gave them a song, which they did, and that was the only track that the... the other side, obviously, but the only single that the Neat Change ever did. And, yeah, there you go. That's it. Before that, we had John Otway and It's a Pain, which came from his album Where Did I Go Right? Came out on Polydor in 1979. And what have we got for you now? Oh, yeah, right. In 1967, I think, there was a band called Uriel, and they came from London, and they comprised such people as Steve Hillage and Dave Stewart, the keyboard player, and a couple of other guys, Mont Campbell and Clive Brooks, and they never got an album deal, and they played around, and I actually think I saw them live without realising it, but I'll tell you about that later. Anyhow, they went on for a year or two without much success, and then Steve Hillage decided to leave to study, and the other three rechristened themselves Egg and got a deal with the new label DRAM Nova label, which was a kind of new label to take in like progressive bands and stuff like that. And So they formed Egg and made three albums, and this is a track off the first Egg album, which was just called Egg, came out on DRAM Nova in 1969. And the track I'm going to play is called, what's it called? It's called I Will Be Absorbed. So, you know, good title. What happened was really that on Egg's second album, there's a track called A Visit to Newport Hospital. And it's obviously they're singing about their days on the Isle of Wight, because Newport Hospital is on the Isle of Wight. There's several Newports in UK, but they're singing, you know, they said we played at Ryde Castle Hotel, which was in the town where I went on holiday with my mate Dave when we were about 14. Dave's folks very kindly took me with them because my mum was in a mental hospital at the time and my dad wasn't around. So to save me having to go into care, Dave's family said, oh, I can go and stay with them. And it was in the summer and they took me on holiday with them. And we went to Ryde on the Isle of Wight. And one night we were walking along the front of, you know, the seafront in Ryde, and we heard this kind of psychedelic music, you know, and although we were like 14, you know, we kind of swaggered into the bar where it was going on in the Ryde Castle Hotel, and there was this really good band playing, but because we were in this bar underage and kind of looking a bit underage, we thought we'd better not make ourselves too prominent, and we didn't have the front to go up and ask who the band was. And, you know, then later we heard this thing with Egg saying, you know, we've played 4 nights a week in Ryde Castle Hotel. And you think, oh, it might have been them. It might have been Uriel. Gah. Yes. So I might have seen them. I'm not sure. But I think I probably did. I did see Egg some years later at the Roundhouse in London. But anyhow, that's a bit dull. And this is the track I Will Be Absorbed. And it's a nice bit of early organ-based prog. I suppose that's a kind of portmanteau of prog and egg. It's preg. So here's some preg for you. It's
thank you.
Go, that's Brenda Holloway doing Every Little Bit Hurts. What a great song and a great performance. That's from her 1963 album on Motown, which is called Every Little Bit Hurts. And I was reading about her. She was their first ever signing from the West Coast, Motown's first West Coast lady. And but she was seen by Motown as being a bit temperamental because she was kind of intelligent and argued with them and didn't want to move to Detroit and all that kind of stuff. And she actually quit Motown in 67, and quite a little bit after that, she stopped recording entirely until the 90s when she made some albums. But she was songwriting, and she was an accomplished musician. She'd gone to a musical conservatory and conservatoire rather, and you know, studied violin and cello and stuff like that. And she wrote things like "You Made Me So Very Happy," which was a big hit for Blood, Sweat and Tears, and many other things she wrote. You know, so you know, it's, she was kind of an accomplishment. What I say was, I think she's still alive. That's a great single. Yes, she was, you know, unruly, and back in the 60s you didn't want unruly women. I think quite a lot of women felt a bit like overlooked, you know. Well, not overlooked, but kind of treated like kind of like cattle, really, you know. And it's I admire her for kind of standing up to, you know, the man, you know. So good on her, good old Brenda, that's what I say. Before that we had, I think it was Egg, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Egg doing I Will Be Absorbed off their first album, just called Egg, on DRAM Nova, which came out in 69. And Dave Stewart, who was the keyboard player, he's still around, but he joined various bands, formed various bands, the National Health. He was in Hatfield and the North with Robert Wyatt, I think. And... yeah, he was in lots of great bands. Khan, where he reunited with Steve Hillage. Yeah, so he was doing a lot. I'm sure there's other bands he was with. I'm just trying to think what they were. Can't remember. Oh, come on, of course. Ars Ashel, yeah. The classic psychedelic band, which was actually Uriel with Steve Hillage, but they'd already split up and formed Egg, and so they were contracted and had to do Ars Ashel under assumed names. And so Ars Ashel never actually existed. It was Uriel after they'd broken up, and they went into the studio, and I actually interviewed Dave Stewart, and he told me that they had, you know, a short bit of time to make an album in the studio, and on the second side it kind of sounds like they weren't really prepared. They did this longish there's two long kind of jam tracks on the second side of the album, and the last track, apparently they had the studio booked till midnight, and they were watching the clock, and they were doing this long kind of psychedelic jam, and as the clock struck midnight they stopped, and that was the end of the album. So it just got fitted on. So, and Ars Ashel is a fantastic album, I've got to say, really good. But so is Khan, and all the Egg albums are great, yeah. Anyhow, what we got for you now? Oh, yeah, well, of course, this is Gene Clark, you know, ex-Byrds and Gosdin Brothers guy, you know. He came from Tipton, Missouri, moved to Kansas City, and in the end he moved to LA and formed the Byrds with Roger McGuinn, or Jim McGuinn as he was then. You know, and he'd been the kind of front man of the Byrds, really, singer and main songwriter, but over the years, you know, the formative years, the production team wanted Jim McGuinn, who became Roger McGuinn, to do the singing and be kind of the front man. And you know, Gene Clark was kind of overlooked, and he ended up leaving the Byrds in 1966. And yeah, he didn't seem to get on very well with Dave Crosby, but then a lot of people didn't. And you know, he kind of formed a band with the Gosdin Brothers and then rejoined the Byrds, but in the end he kind of went solo and did a bunch of solo albums, which range from fantastic to pretty good. You know, I mean, I don't think he was ever bad, but he had a problem with drink and drugs and died aged 46. My mate who ran a record shop in Brighton, Dave Minns, used to book him to come over because he was a huge fan, and he used to book him to come over and he'd play in little pubs and clubs around the Brighton period towards the end of his life. And yeah, you know, I should have gone and seen him, but I didn't. You know, I don't know why. Maybe I was just kind of too busy doing other stuff, but that's not a great excuse. But anyhow, I think his crowning glory really was the album No Other, which came out on Asylum in 1974, and it's an absolute work of genius, really, I think. And the title track is No Other, and that's what I'm going to play for you now. So this is Gene Clark and No Other.
From the tide.
the wonderful sounds of Gene Clark and his No Other, which comes from the album of the same name. And that came out on Asylum Records in 1974. And I was talking about the Byrds and Dave Crosby and all those. And, I'm a big fan. And I think I've told you when I saw Roger McGuinn and he was having a fight with Skip Vattin. And another time I saw him and... the guy putting him on, who he was wonderful, but the guy putting him on said he was incredibly difficult, and everything that the guy got for him was awful, and he didn't like the backstage area, he didn't like the drinks, he didn't like that. And also, I read Graham Nash's autobiography, and he's kind of diplomatic, and he talks about Neil Young and Dave Crosby and saying how much he loves them and how brilliant they are, but, they're not easy. And in the end, he did actually fall out with Dave Crosby. But I'm going on about that. I should actually say that we're getting towards the end of the show, and I've got one more track for you, and it's by a band called Felius Andromeda, and... the track is called Meditations. It's their only single from 19... where is it? What date is it? Let me have a... I can't remember. Oh, it's from 1967. Came out on Decca. They were from London. Just did the one single and featured a guy called Dennis Coudrey in it, who had a band called The Next Collection, and also took part in The Second Hand, who did two albums. And, this is... a track that was kind of heavily rated as a psychedelic wonder piece, but it didn't really take off. And the band split up in 1970, but reformed a year or two later, just as Andromeda. But there's another band called Andromeda, so it's all confusing. Andromeda, the other band, made an album, and this Andromeda didn't. They just did one single. But anyhow, I'm Nick Simon. You've been listening to Implosion on KDRT, and this is Felius Andromeda, and I'll see you in a few weeks' time. All the best.
Meditating in eternity. with the depth of my comprehension, my heart is locked in my soul's redemption.